We're going to jump right in. Can y'all open your Bibles or look up in your phone, Hebrews 10, 25. I want you to go there. We're starting a new series this morning, and it's called Never Give Up. Never Give Up. There's a little race flag. A couple weeks before Christmas, I went with my wife and her family, and I ran a race called the Spartan Beast. One of the hardest things I've ever done. This thing it's said to be one of the hardest half marathons in the country. Not only do you run 13.1 miles, is that right, I think, which is a half marathon, which I can't even do, you have to do like 20 obstacles or more. I think there were 24 obstacles that you had to do, jumping over walls, carrying sandbags up hills. This scared me to death. But we signed up because I'm an idiot, and my father-in-law loves to do that, and I said, sure, it'll whip me into shape. So I signed up for this in June, this race. Signed up for it in June. It was December something or other. I don't remember. December, I ran once in that six-month period. So I was toast. I show up to this place. There are thousands of other people who are huge. They're jacked. They're in unbelievable shape. They're ready to run this race. And I was ready to give up right there. I said, I'm not doing it. I'm just here for the free soda and a t-shirt and maybe a medal. But we went in and we decided, because we're wimps, we said, we heard online that there was a way out at 3 miles. So it's 13.1, but if you couldn't take it, don't worry. Try again next year. You won't get the medal, but that's okay. So we're like, all right, we're done. 3 miles, we're doing it. So we get in, we start jogging, we're running. I'm already exhausted by a mile. I'm already huffing and puffing. I'm like, hey, where's water? Luckily, it was probably 60 or 70 degrees in the middle of December. So that was a blessing. But so we realize that 3 miles, we're in the middle of nowhere. There's nowhere to go. We're on top of a mountain. And we realized, wow, we're not going anywhere. We're going 13.1. And so me and my wife and her sister and her dad, we had to trudge it out. And finally, I'll leave you hanging. I'll leave you hanging on what the end of the story was, and we'll talk about it next week. But the point of the story, did I make it or did I not? You got to come back. We'll see. But the whole time, I'm looking at all these people and saying, hey, you can't give up. Okay? It's an overused analogy of life's a race. Run it, win it, whatever. But think about it. You know that analogy. Whether you've run a race before or just track, you've been in PE, and you got to run a mile in under 10 minutes. That was my biggest nightmare in middle school. I tell you what. I made it in 10 minutes. Don't worry. I don't know if I could do it today, but never give up. Never give up. That's what we're talking about. But in what means are we talking about? Let's look at Hebrews 10:25 together. What does Scripture say about never give up? Where does it come from? Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So right there, it says, let us never give up. And what's it talking about? It's talking about loving each other, being in the lives of one another, lifting each other up and calling them and saying, hey, we're going to finish this thing together. Never give up. I wanted to give up 3 miles. And there have been times in my life where I've said, this is too hard. I just want to quit. I just want to stop. Why isn't this easier? I don't know, because God designed it that way. Because he wants us to be dependent on him. So three things we're going to look at over the next 3 weeks. We're going to look at authenticity, how we should never give up being real. Accountability, never giving up, confronting each other in their weakness and letting our weakness be shown. And then encouraging and inspiring one another and strengthening each other with truth, with God's word. And these are the ways that we can never give up. And I hope you see that all of those are with each other. That's what the verse talks about. I'm going to read it one more time. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as this, you see the day approaching. Us coming to Wake, us coming and singing songs and having fun and digging into God's word is not a waste of time. There were times when I was your age where I saw it as that. I saw, you know what? I know that thing. I don't need it. Go in a small group. You have fun. Hopefully you're digging into God's word and digging into each other's lives. It's not a waste of time. God says, don't give up meeting with one another. You need each other. So this morning, the first way we're going to talk about it is an authenticity. It says, never give up meeting together. But you know what? That's hard. Because if you're kind of like me, you've had relationships where everything's great. You got a best friend or a guy that you hang out with all the time or this girl that you just love talking with and painting your nails with. And then all of a sudden something happens and it goes bad. And you're like, I don't want to hang out with that person anymore. Or it's just hard to make that happen or conflicts change. You can't do it, but more likely than not, it's like, you know what? That person hurt me. I'm done. I'm scared what they think of me. I'm done. I don't want to deal with it. But the scripture says never give up. But I think, well, what if someone doesn't like me? What if they reject me? What if they don't want to hang out with me? And so sometimes we distance ourselves. Never give up. And so we're going to talk about authenticity today, and I'll be the first one to say, when I was in middle school, I did not want people to know who I was, for real, like who I really was. I went to school because of those very questions. What if they don't like me? What if I tell them the junk that I wrestle with? What if they really see who I am? What if they see what I'm trying to cover up? What if they see that I'm not perfect? And so I went to school, and when I was in middle school and high school, I really wrestled with ADD. And not wrestle, it's just there, and I got to cope with it. But I thought I was stupid. I'd study my butt off, and I'd not be able to do it. And so I thought that everyone was going to see me that I couldn't do it, that I was not smart enough. So I became the class clown, the guy who looked like he didn't care. I wouldn't do assignments so that I looked like I didn't want to do it, and it was my choice instead of me failing it because I couldn't remember what it was. I knew everybody in school. In middle school, I had so many people who knew who I was. All around school, everyone was saying hi to me. I'd go home on the weekends, and there was nobody. I had no friends. I had so many acquaintances, so many people that I knew their name, they knew my name. There was no depth, and that was my fault. Because I had stuff in my life that I was too afraid to let people see. I had walls up, and I did not want people in. I was so scared that if they knew that I'm wrestling with some sin, or that I'm scared to come into school every day, that I'm not perfect, then they'd say, ah, forget it, we're going to the next guy. So I faked it. I gave up. You guys, you're in a world where you're told to do anything that you have to do to fit in. I know that world. I lived in that world. Everybody in this room, every leader in this room has lived in the world that you're in. Maybe yours is different. It is different because culture has changed. But in junior high, in high school, the rest of your life, but it's hardest now. People say, hey, you got the in crowd, you got the cool crowd. Are you going to be cool enough? Are you going to maybe start cussing so that you can hang out with us? Are you going to change who you are? Everything around you says, hey, you've got to be somebody else in order to hang out with us. Or at least that's what we think. That's what I thought in middle school. We put on a face. We put on a facade. I put on a fake Harrison and went to school every day. That's what I let people see because I didn't want them to know me and I was miserable. Because nobody knew who I was. And I did, and I hated it, and I didn't think it was good enough. But here's the truth. God made me. God made you specifically the way you are. Physically, to look the way you are. Personality, to act the way you are. To laugh the way you laugh. To talk like you talk like. To do the things that you like. God made you that way. And God loves you that way. God loved me that way. And I said, you know what? God, what you did was not good enough. I'm going to change it. But I was not being me, and it was all because of my fear. But God says that you are enough. He says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb, while you were in your mother's womb. He even goes as far to say that you are his workmanship, his masterpiece. He's proud of you, his creation. In the image of him, you were created. And so why are we so scared to live in who we are. Who's got a scar on their body? Who's got something? They like, you know, you skin your knee, you hit a tree branch. Yeah. Guys, you probably like those scars, right? Oh, yeah. I'm a man. But scars, you know, they tell a story. You all come back. All of us in our lives, inside, we've got scars. Or maybe we've got open wounds. In my case, in middle school, I had gaping wounds emotionally, all inside of me. And so, instead of saying, hey, guys, I need help. I can't fix myself. I need you to help me. I started putting on jackets and saying, hey, I'm all right. Just limping around the world. And nobody knew it but me. I was hurting. I was dying inside. I needed community. I needed people. But I was too scared to let people in. God calls you his masterpiece. Beautiful workmanship. But we live in a broken world, like we talked about last week. And we do struggle. We are not perfect. But God calls us not to be perfect, but to be holy as he is holy. And we pursue holiness. We can't do that alone. And we can't do it unless we are authentically living, unless we are being authentic with ourselves and with others. So what if I stood up here? What if I stood up here every week and I said, guys, here's what the Bible says. Bible says that you shouldn't be angry with people. That's what I'm doing. I'm awesome. I got it right. Get there. How discouraging would that be? If you're sitting there and you go, I think I really wrestled with unrighteous anger towards people every day last week. What if I said, you know what? God's word says not to judge people. Maybe that used to be me, but I'm at a point in my life right now where I've never judged a man for a year because I'm awesome. How discouraging, because it's inauthentic. That's not real. I'll be the first to say that, yes, I probably wrestled with, I did, I judged somebody yesterday, and that's not right. That doesn't make it, that doesn't give you the right to do it. But I don't want to be the guy that stands up here every week and says, hey, I've got everything right, do as I do, and you're going to be great. I hope that I'm surrendering my life before Christ every day, and you guys and your leaders are surrendering their lives before Christ, and you say, I want to run after that, like he's running. But we are in a broken world, and we are not perfect. But we've got to be authentic with where we're wrestling. God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, hey, I'm perfect, come to me. If you can't live by what I'm saying, it's it. He was authentic with us. He was real. Jesus came down to be with us, to be real in our lives. And said, hey, I'm going to live this thing with you. And God says, hey, I'll take you as you are, exactly how you are. You don't have to be better. You don't have to become perfect. Come now, follow me, and then let's walk to holiness. Let's run to holiness and don't give up. So the first thing is authenticity. You got to know who you are, like who you are, and be who you are. That's something I've heard talked about a lot around here, and I think it's really cool. Know who you are, like who you are, and be who you are. So that means God made you who you are. You've got to come to a place where you love who you are and then live it. Be authentic. Know who you are. Throw that up there, Micah. Know who you are, like who you are, be who you are. So the first thing you have to do is you've got to be authentic with yourself. When I was in your shoes, and I bet a lot of you guys are here, I wasn't willing to tell myself that I was doing wrong. I just thought, you know what? Everybody's doing that. Everybody's just covering up who they really are, and we just come to school. I've got church friends and school friends. I wasn't being the same guy everywhere. I was not living authentically. I was not honest with myself or authentic with myself. Lance Armstrong did the same thing. A lot of times we say, oh, you know what? It's not a big deal. I can handle it. I'll get there. It's okay. Lance Armstrong, for years, was doing steroids. And he said, everyone else is doing it. And he covered it up and he won all these awards. And he did it because he wanted to win. He did it because he wanted people to like him. He did it because he wanted the fame. That's what we all want. That's why we're at school and we want to be the popular kids. I can't be real or they're going to know. Lance Armstrong, I can't tell people that I've been using steroids or they're going to know. And then finally it comes out. Because he was not honest with himself. He's not authentic with himself. So he couldn't be authentic with others. And it came back to hurt him. If you're not honest with yourself and real with yourself, it could come back to hurt you, but also hurt others. Be authentic with other people. Authentic with yourself and then be authentic with others. Sometimes that we jeopardize, big word, or cheapen our relationships because they're not real friendships. They're just acquaintances. And I had tons of them. But God did not put us on this earth to just have Xbox Live accounts and to sit around and just play Xbox with these buddies that maybe we've never even met. That's awesome. And I'm glad we get to do it. It's a blast. But if that's the only friends that you have, you're missing it. It's not just to get as many followers as we can. God wants us to be in deep, healthy, intimate relationships. Men with other men. Women with other women who know you and love you and are willing to call you to truth. But sometimes we jeopardize that. We cheapen that because we don't want to be known. You got to be authentic with others. And last, you got to live authentically. You got to be authentic with yourself, be authentic with others, and then you got to live that out. We are the church. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, have been transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ. But oftentimes we walk around and life is no different. We look exactly the same as everybody else. So why would anyone, if I was living the same way I did in middle school, want to come and follow the Jesus that I preach? People don't want religion. They want something real. They don't want rules to follow. They want redemption. They don't want all the hocus pocus of the churchy stuff. They want hope. And that's Jesus in you. You've got to be real. You've got to live that out so that people will go, wow, something is different about that dude. Something is different about her. What is it? I want to run the way she's running. And it's not easy. You can't give up. You got to keep going. So we can't just be real to each other. We got to be real to those around us. We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect until we get to heaven with our Savior. But we can pursue holiness. We can keep running hard. We're not called to be perfect, but we are called to be real. Be authentic with yourself. Be authentic with others. Live authentically. Another way to say that is to be real with yourself. Be real with others. Live in reality. That's how I should have said it. Live in reality. We create this fake world because we're afraid to let people in. Let them know who you are. Never stop meeting together. Encourage each other all the more as the day approaches. Some of you may have never felt truly encouraged. And I challenge you because maybe it's because you've never been truly known. Maybe you've put up the walls in your life. Maybe you've only allowed a certain part of your heart to be let go, but you've never let somebody in to see the junk and to just say, hey, I'm wrestling. I'm going to challenge you guys to do that. I'm going to challenge you guys this week in your small groups. Some of you may not be wrestling with big stuff. That's okay. Even the smallest sin, even the biggest sin, all of it is the same in God's eyes. All of us need Jesus. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I got it right. I need Jesus every day, and so do you. Not that I have to be saved every day, but I need to surrender myself to Him and run to Him and be sanctified, to be more like Jesus every day. I can't stop. We don't just stop where we are. Authenticity is not an excuse to get away with stuff. It's not an excuse to say, hey, you know what? I'm struggling with this, but that's just how God made me. Deal with it. It's a way to say, hey, look, here's where I am. I need you to help me. I need you to pray for me. run with me and let's run to Jesus. I want to be a better man. I want to be a better woman for my Savior. Will you help me? Do that in your small groups this week. I'm going to do it first. I'm Harrison Ross. I'm a believer who struggles with people-pleasing, with lust, and with thinking that I can do it all myself, thinking that I can be the God of my life, that I don't need people in my life, that I don't need to be dependent on God, but that I can make it happen on the gifts and talents that God's given me. When I was your age, guys, if I said that I struggle with lust, I thought I was just going to like be ostracized like that. I thought that I was a believer. I said, why am I a Christian and struggling with this? I thought it was supposed to be gone. Girls, whatever it is for you. Maybe it's just, man, I don't like the way I look. Maybe it's, I have an eating disorder. Guys, I'm full of myself. I've got a lot of pride. Maybe I'm really wrestling with pornography. Maybe I'm a pathological liar. I cannot tell the truth because I want people to accept me. Whatever it is for you, this is a safe place. I hope you know that. When I was your age, I would say those things. I thought my life was over. I thought socially, no one was ever going to talk to me again. But then I realized people love me because Jesus loved me. In spite of my failures, in spite of my scars, my open wounds. You got to live authentically. Be real with one another. Be real with yourself. Be real with other people. And then live in reality. Live authentically. Simply meeting together, just hanging out, that's great. But that's not going to move us towards holiness. That's not going to progress us spiritually. We're in a battle. We're in a race. And it's hard. And we got to run it together, not giving up. Because God didn't call us to just hang out and be comrades and just be in company with one another. He wants us to be in community. Not just in company with one another, but in community. Not just to be acquaintances, but to be accountable. And next week, we're going to talk about accountability and how we can do that. But guys, girls, I challenge you. Pray about it. Where are you wrestling? Because we're not perfect, and it is okay. It's not okay to stay there. But tell somebody. Tell them you need help, and let's run this thing together. Lord, thank you for these students. Thank you for your church. Thank you for you, Jesus. Thank you that you have redeemed us. You've saved us. You've called us into your marvelous light. That we don't have to just live in our sin, but that we can confess that to one another. We can confess that to you. And we can say, I need help. And I need you, Jesus. I pray that we will lift each other up, that we won't judge each other for the things that we're wrestling with, because we're probably wrestling with the same thing. But that we will rally around one another in prayer and encouragement, in accountability and authenticity, and run to you. Lord, may we be the church and live authentically so that others can see that our lives have been transformed by you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.